CBS, Eye on the World, on the surface of the planet Earth. We're going to the surface of the moon, Atlas Crater. Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black, is here to make the announcement of history. The first time ever is always exciting in space exploring because it will be in the books. Bob, this is a first in Atlas Crater. How so? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. This is a first because the lander that attempted to come down onto the moon softly was completely privately built and financed with its own customer payloads on board. This was the Hakuto R1 lander built by a company called iSpace based in Japan. They had been attempting to win the Google Lunar X Prize. No one won that, but they didn't give up afterward. They had investment dollars and they had payloads already, and so they upped the stakes. They made the lander more sophisticated. They got bigger payloads, including the United Arab Emirates Rashid rover. And they launched this last fall and reached lunar orbit successfully. And this was an engineering test for them. This is the first time a private company is doing this. So all throughout, it's not only making sure they can get the spacecraft to function properly and go into planetary orbit around the moon, but also can they operate it, a private company? Can they do all the things necessary to operate a planetary mission? And so they did this. They had 10 major engineering goals. The first 8 was successful, getting into lunar orbit, communicating, and so forth. The 9th was landing, and the 10th was operating on the moon. Well, so this week they attempted to land. And this is really frustrating to a certain extent watching it, because it appeared during the landing they had complete control over the spacecraft. It was functioning exactly correctly in every way right until touchdown, which meant it came down at the right speed, under control, and then hit the ground at the right speed gently so it wasn't damaged. And at that moment in time, they lost contact. So that's kind of frustrating. So their ninth milestone was landing successfully, and it sounds like they got about halfway because they were able to under control come down, at least as far as we know right now, and then they lost control, and which suggests that when it touched the ground, it touched an uneven spot or on top of a boulder or something on the ground itself caused the spacecraft to topple over or to get damaged, and that's why communications were lost. That's my speculation. We're going to have to wait to see. This, in a sense, was a really remarkably successful mission for iSpace in almost every way because they got really close. And it's unfortunate for the United Arab Emirates. Their rover is not functioning at this point, and they won't be able to do what they want to do with it. Nonetheless, Hakuto, iSpace has got 2 more missions already in the works. One is their second engineering mission with more payloads aboard to go to the moon in 24. And they have a third one where they're partnering with an American company, Draper, to build a larger lunar lander to bring NASA payloads to the moon in the South Pole region looking for ice. And so this company is still going. It's just unfortunate this came so close, John. It's just so close.
We stay with the moon. Bob, what is Capstone? What is the mission?
Capstone is another example of private enterprise accomplishing things, but in this case for the government very specifically. Capstone was built by NASA hired a private company, Terran Orbital, to build Capstone. It was a lunar orbiter. It then hired Rocket Lab to launch it, a private company, and then it hired another company called Advanced Space to operate it in space and then in lunar orbit. And its goal is to go into a lunar orbit called a halo orbit or a near rectilinear halo orbit. It's a halo orbit around the moon. All orbits around the moon are unstable. So NASA wanted this CubeSat mission to go into that orbit to test operations in that orbit, because that's the orbit they want to use for their lunar gateway station. And so this mission was a way to cheaply find out what would operate, how things would work in that orbit. Could they maintain efficiently that orbit? It's relatively unstable, and maintain communication. So Capstone was launched. It had one valve problem. The Advanced Space got around that, and it went into orbit, and it's been in orbit since November. It's done about 154 days in orbit, about 23 revolutions in the halo orbit, and they're basically testing how things operate in that thing, and it's doing well. They're actually using less fuel than expected. They got around the valve problem. The mission was supposed to end in May, but they've extended it for 12 more months to get further data. And so this is a private enterprise success once again, John, in planetary missions.
More commercial space. Astra, Ursa Major rocket for the Rocket 4 upper stage. This is not big space. This is commercial space making money. Bob, what is Astra?
Astra was a company that had completed several launches, including several failures, of what it called its Rocket 3, small-sat rocket. And after the last launch, which was not successful, the company made a decision to discontinue use of Rocket 3 and instead go on to a bigger rocket called Rocket 4. So they're not an operational rocket company at the moment, no longer. But they're developing Rocket 4, and so they announced this week that they're going to, instead of building their own engines for the upper stage of Rocket 4, they are buying Ursa Major's Hadley rocket engine for the upper stage. And this is interesting because it'll mean a quicker turnaround because Ursa Major has been making a lot of these rocket engines. It has sold that engine to three different rocket companies or space companies as well as the Air Force. We're talking about over 300 engines sold, more than that. And it's also building two larger engines, Ripley and Arrowhead. So this just indicates that Astra could get back to launching maybe by the end of this year. To me, the more important part of this story is Ursa Major, because this is now becoming an unqualified success American company providing rocket engines to American rocket companies. It'll simplify new rocket companies, because rather than have to build their own rocket, you know, invent their own engines, reinvent the wheel, they can buy from Ursa Major and get their rocket up into the air much quicker, John.
Now an update from the People's Republic of China's space program. You will recall in the last episode, there was much ballyhoo about the People's Republic of China joining with its neighbor in the world island, that would be the Russian Federation, in order to build what appeared to be the predicate of a moon colony on the South Pole. It looked extremely aggressive, ambitious, had phase one, phase two, phase three, a lot of aspirational rocket building. And now, Bob, the update. What do we see and what don't we see about the big plan?
It is interesting. China, when it built its space station, they announced like at the beginning, like in 2010, what they intended to do. And their plan pretty much followed. It was a very rational plan, and they pretty much followed it. And they built their space station, which just was delayed a few years. And that's not unusual for these ambitious projects. Well, they've announced now this plan. They announced it in 21 in partnership with Russia. We're going to together build a lunar base on the moon. It's going to have three phases. The third phase will have some intermittent human occupation, and that would happen in 36. Well, the designer of this, the chief designer, had a presentation in China this week, and in doing that, two things were not mentioned or were mentioned as an aside. One, Russia was not mentioned in any major way in his announcement. The plan he described was almost identical to the plan they did in 21, but Russia no longer appears to be a full equal partner. Instead, the chief designer talked about how they're encouraging countries, organizations, and scientists worldwide to join the construction of this research station. In his talk, he probably mentioned Russia as part of the many countries they want to partner with. But the state-run press that reported this presentation of China made no mention of Russia at all. So Russia has very clearly been devalued. That is not a surprise. I never expected Russia to be able to keep pace or fulfill any of its commitments in this plan. China was willing for public relations to bring them in, but was never going to depend on them. Now, the second thing that wasn't mentioned clearly was in the original announcement in 21, they hoped to have intermittent occupation on the moon in 36. In this most recent update, the chief designer said that third phase will occur in 2040. So they're already pushed back about 4 years. What's important is that the overall plan hasn't changed, and the Chinese so far have demonstrated an ability to follow through with these. And since it's very rationally designed, I would expect it to take place, John.
Bob, I don't see any indication of booster. And the booster I'm looking at for is Long March 9. Is that still on track to have a Long March 9 by 2030?
Long March 9 is China's copycat Starship Super Heavy, and its plans keep changing. Originally, it was going to be an SLS rocket, and then the designers decided not to copy that, but copy Starship Super Heavy instead. But I think what they're doing is they're waiting to see Starship Super Heavy succeed so they can steal the plans more precisely. It is planned for 2030, but we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. Once again, China, once it builds things, does a very good job, but they usually copy other people's work, and they're waiting, I think, to find out as much as they can about what SpaceX is doing so that they can build the same thing themselves.
A private astronaut facility. Is this like a gated golf club, Bob? What's it look like?
Oh, that's a very good analogy, John. Yes, a private company, a British company called Blue Abyss, has purchased land and now gotten approval from the local authorities to buy this land near the Glenn Space Flight Center in Ohio. And the goal from Blue Abyss is to build an astronaut training facility at this site with a hotel. Notice the hotel's important, and a gigantic 150-foot deep multi-level pool. And what this would be is ability to do training, deep sea diving, but also to do training for weightlessness. And their goal is to not only aim for the commercial astronaut market, private market that's developing, but tourism as well. Because, you know, you want to do a space camp for adults, you could go here and do it. They've gotten approval now from the private from the local authorities to buy the land and to build this. They're also doing a similar facility in Cornwall, England. This is partly they're what they see as a commercial industry developing in commercial space, manned commercial space, and they're trying to get a niche market within it, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're headed to Mars, exploring. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.